Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're going to be talking technicals and longer term outlooks as we are chatting again with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisors, also lead editor, senior editor over at the Gold Eagle website. Christopher, we bring you back on a regular basis, about every month, let's say, to touch on a chart that you are focused on a lot, and that is the Dow to gold ratio. You've outlined a number of times how, quite frankly, as gold has moved up, so has the Dow. And these two continue to trade in a pretty tight relation to each other without gold being able to break out, and which very much could then bring more investors in. Let's just quickly get a general outlook on this Dow to gold ratio and any key changes you have seen recently, as we have seen gold make this historic move up to 2,400.
Yeah, so in my opinion, this is the key chart as to why, even though we have gold here at new all-time highs, gold is trading at $2,382 in the spot market as we are speaking. Gold has risen by about $400 here in the last 6 weeks. Incredible move. In my opinion, the reason why the sentiment is not even better than it is right now, despite these all-time highs in gold, and we have a ton of evidence for this, whether we look at flows into the gold ETFs, whether we look at readership, viewership statistics, whether we look at valuations in the mining sector, the sentiment is still not where one would expect it to be, given all-time highs in the gold price. The primary reason for that, according to our research model, is this Dow to gold ratio, which has essentially been moving sideways, meaning the Dow Jones and gold have been moving in lockstep here. Really, over the course of the last 7 or 8 years, it's been a general sideways motion in that Dow to gold ratio. However, the tightness in that relationship has gotten even more distinct when we're talking about the last 2 to 3 years. Essentially flat, and I can pull up a Dow Jones chart and a gold chart and overlay them one-to-one, and they are almost the same chart at this point, which is astounding if you think about it. You know, the longest dated stock market index and then the oldest store of wealth on planet Earth are functionally being treated as the same asset class by the market. We can disagree with that fundamentally, but that's what the market is saying in its wisdom or lack thereof. So I think, you know, when we look at the Dow to gold right now trading at 16 today, it closed at 16 ounces of gold needed to purchase one share in the Dow, in every company in the Dow. I'm looking at support for that ratio at 13.8. So, I mean, we are a little over 2 points away. If that ratio can close below 13.8, it tells me that it has broken out in favor of gold, and we should start to see that general investor, the general equities investor who just pours money month over month into, let's say, a 401k or an index fund, we should start to see that general investor start to come back into the precious metals sector. So from 16 to 13.8, but I will say it's been elusive. We've been looking at gold and the Dow consolidating here for the last number of years. And so until I see it on the chart, it looks to me like the stock market is susceptible here to about a 10 or 15% correction over the next 1 to 2 months. And if this ratio continues to hold, I think we need to be careful for gold as well. Gold could be susceptible to a 10 to 15% correction before it moves higher into the later part of the year.
Well, Christopher, just as far as the gold price, you've mentioned several times in the past that it's really in the driver's seat, and it has been. It got a lot of central bank buying that kept buoying it, even when rates and the dollar you would have thought would have been a headwind. But now there has been buying come into silver and the mining stocks. Granted, not as much as investors were hoping to see, but on that speculative side, on silver, it did jump up to 30 just last week and then quickly reversed back down to 28 on the futures market. And we did see some life in GDX, GDXJ, SILJ, the mining stocks. Even the juniors sprung to life, but it's not really been the same kind of response the precious metal sector as a whole has been expecting, with gold blasting up to new highs. So make sense of that divergence, or how you think that may play out moving forward.
Yeah, and to just talk about how extreme the divergence is, I want to rewind for investors in their memory from the 2016 bottom in precious metals, which is basically where this cycle started. Gold bottomed at just above $1,000 per ounce just prior to the first Fed rate hike in a decade. And the GDX, when we talk about the large cap gold miners, bottomed around the 12 level concurrently. So 12 on the GDX and then just above 1,000 for gold. In the first wave higher, in the first surge, which lasted for basically the first half of 2016, we saw gold rise from just above 1,000 to $1,375 per ounce. So about a $350 gain in the gold price. Concurrently, the GDX, the large cap miners, rose from 12 to about 32 on the GDX index. So a little less than a tripling in the gold miners, concurrent with about a $350 or a 30% rise in the gold price. So keep in mind that pivot point that we're talking about. Gold peaked at 1375, the GDX peaked at 32 in mid-2016. Fast forward now, almost 8 years, and we can add $1,000 to the gold price. Gold is now trading not at $1,375, but just above $2,375. Yet the GDX closed not at 32, but at 33 today, as we are speaking in mid-April 2014. So we have had, I mean, this is an absolutely egregious underperformance from the gold miners relative to the price of gold. We have gold higher by $1,000 compared to where it was in that 2016 peak. Yet the senior gold miners are trading at the same level, functionally speaking, as that 2016 peak. We know a lot of the junior gold miners have suffered even more than the seniors. They're trading well below the levels that they were at the 2016 peak. So this underperformance, to get back to the significant reason why this has occurred, is because that Dowd gold ratio that we talked about a few moments ago has been moving sideways this entire time. And the general investor has seen no reason to move into the precious metal sector as they did getting closer to the 2011 peak and also as they did in the late 70s peak. And so here we are, fast forwarding, gold is $1,000 higher. The miners have been lagging. The one thing that I can say is that we still have a higher target for gold. I think that after any pullback that happens here, we're going to be looking at gold above 2,500. I think gold could overshoot the target that we're looking at. We could be looking at 27. You know, things could get a little disorderly to the upside, I think, in sort of a final wave for gold. We could be even pushing a 3,000 handle on the gold price when we fast forward a year to 2 years from now. I will tell you from the study of history, even in times like this, when the miners have been lagging for so long, they tend to outperform and they tend to make up for years of underperformance in the final wave higher on gold. It's almost like they get pulled higher in the final wave for gold. And some of those gains, we saw this exact same type of behavior in the 1970s. Some of those gains can be 500 or 1,000, or in the case of the juniors, can be multiple thousands percentage points higher in the final wave. And you got to remember that final wave, when it comes in, basically lasts for only 12 to 18 months. It's a very quick phenomenon, and you've got to be positioned for when it comes in. So yes, absolutely, the underperformance here has been terrible over the last number of years, but gold still has higher targets. And I think these miners could do what they've done in each of the last several cycles, which is to have a phenomenal final wave.
So finally, hey, gold pulls the gold miners higher, something that, man, our listeners have been waiting for a while. But as you said, you need to be positioned in the miners at reasonable prices to take advantage of that rise. But if we potentially do get some sort of a cooling off, a slowing down of the gold price, or even a short-term correction, I know you invest in a lot of the gold miners. Is now, in your eyes, a good time to be buying? Or do we wait for a bigger correction and you get maybe a better entry opportunity in something like GDX?
Investors are going to want to take a partial approach here. I would expect that most of the listeners to this program already have decent exposure to the mining sector. And so, you know, it still looks to me like gold here wants to sort of probe above 2400, maybe make some daily closes or try to probe into the mid 24s. I am looking at the history, however, of gold breakouts to new all-time highs. And I will tell you that every time gold has broken out to new all-time highs, it has eventually retested its breakout point before it continues higher. And so in this instance, I am thinking that we could have another several weeks, 1 or 2 months here of strength in gold. I do believe that over the coming several months, we will see gold come back and retest that breakout point from the four-year consolidation. That's going to be plus or minus 2075, maybe 2100 in that zone. Can I guarantee that that happens? Of course not. I can't guarantee anything that happens in the markets. Could this be the one time for gold that we see a breakout and it just never looks back? It keeps zooming higher. It could be, although I'm not going to place the majority of the emphasis of my analysis with a scenario that has never happened before. So what I would suggest to investors is to have a decent level of exposure now, but to keep in mind that if we wanted to try to identify the ideal moment, the moment to back up the truck or finalize positions, not that everyone can time their entire portfolio to the perfect moment, but if we were to look at sort of the highest reward to risk moment for the sector, it's when gold comes back to retest its breakout point. That could still be a couple of months away. So what I would do is be having partial or significant positions now, given that we've seen the breakout, but to save some capital for topping off or adding to positions when we see the retest happen within the next several months.
Well, I appreciate you breaking that down for us, Christopher. We'll definitely be looking for that corrective move to see where does it go back. Does it go back and backtest that move? And that might be a good place to accumulate a little more aggressively if you see that play out. I do want to ask you about silver, though. It's such an important part of the precious metals complex. And we just saw last week, possibly on some of the geopolitical concerns, that it popped up right to 30, that resistance level that it's been trying to break for about 4 years now. It got up to 29.90 on the futures market and then quickly reversed down on Friday afternoon back down to just $28 again. So it was a big move up and then a crash back down. But it kind of showed the first real impetus towards testing that level that it has in a while. Do you think if silver was to break 30, with GDX being so tightly correlated to silver, much more so than gold, that could be a trigger to really get the mining stocks moving?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That correlation between silver and the gold and silver miners is much higher than with physical gold. I've been impressed here by silver's strength. I'm noticing a real dip buying mentality over the short run. When I look at intraday charts, I'm noticing that every dip is really being bought here over the last number of weeks. Indeed, that level right around 30 is significant resistance. I mean, what a incredible reversal last week on Friday, down $2 intraday, you know, incredible volatility that we're seeing in the silver price. That said, I mean, today those dip buyers have shown up again. Silver had dipped in Monday morning in Asia back down to 27.90, and here we are back up at 28.90. So, you know, a dollar higher today on Monday. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens here as silver tries to get above 30. I think the big question is, can silver break above 30? And then let's say when gold corrects and gold looks to retest its breakout point, can silver hold above 30 as gold is correcting? I think we need to be a little bit cautious over the next couple weeks. If we were to see gold probing into the 24s, maybe even pushing up against 2500, and let's say silver only making a nominal break above 30, you know, can we imagine a daily close or even one weekly close above 30? But then if gold is going to correct, if gold is going to see that initial retest of its breakout point, I would be very suspect that silver is able to hold above 30 into a correction like that for gold. So I think we want to watch the behavior here. However, I would say that if silver can show this continued strength, and let's say get into the mid-30s during this cycle, let's say silver can peak out at $34, $35, $36 per ounce, as gold itself is peaking around $2,500, then what that tells me is that as gold corrects to retest its breakout point, I would expect silver to only correct back down to 30 in that instance. We would be looking then at this phenomenon, which is a classical phenomenon in technical analysis, where former resistance becomes support. If that scenario were to manifest, and as gold is correcting back to retest its breakout point, yet silver is able to consolidate above 30, then it's telling me Katie bar the door on the last wave higher, because silver is going to go very quickly from 30 to 50 as soon as gold retests its breakout point. And then we have to take a step back and really start to look at how much further does gold have to go, because we could be entertaining possibilities for silver above 50. But I like to take it one step at a time. I've outlined the two scenarios. I think we need to be cautious as gold gets ready for a retest, but let's watch how silver behaves. If it can hold above 30 as gold is retesting, it is extremely bullish for silver. And then, yes, I think it tells us that the speculative wave is indeed coming for everything related to silver and then the mining sector.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there with a note of caution to look for these potential back tests or these potential corrective moves, maybe in sympathy with the general stock market. But then after that, depending on where the support levels come in, could be a great place to see a really big move in the sector and even in the mining stocks. So we'll keep our tabs on that. We'll have you back on the show as things play out in the future, Christopher. If people want to follow Christopher's work, definitely click on the link below this page. It takes you over to iGold Advisor, where Christopher provides analysis to his subscribers. And for people that are not familiar with your service, Christopher, maybe just share really briefly, what do you provide your subscribers at iGold Advisor?
Yeah, thank you, Shad. Our flagship service is Precious Metals Intelligence Plus. It is a weekly, sometimes biweekly publication where we cover everything and more like we've talked about today, but also it's a multimedia presentation that, as we're explaining the technicals, we have visuals going along with it so investors can see the exact levels that we're monitoring here on the charts, whether we're talking gold, silver, the GDX, the Dow to Gold Ratio. And then we also have, for higher net worth investors, a service called Elite Private Placements. And in Elite Private Placements, we actually are going to have an opening this week for a company called Sirios Resources, which is a Canadian company with a 1.9 million ounce gold deposit up in Quebec, Canada. And in Elite Private Placements, we invest in these similar types of mining companies that we do in the intelligence service. However, for higher net worth investors who can commit the minimum, which tends to be $10,000 Canadian at a time, they can accumulate free warrants in these companies as they're buying those same shares as you would get in the open market. So that is a service for higher net worth investors, but it's all available at iGoldAdvisor.com.
All right. Appreciate you sharing that, Christopher. And like always, we'll be checking in with you as these charts continue to develop, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.